Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Gary Neron welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry, taking a book of the Bible verse by verse, teaching as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology, speaking the truth in love, and our purpose is to give the lamp and light to all. Yesterday in our study of Titus chapter 3, we reviewed how every person will be held accountable for how we respond to the commandments of God. Let's continue with that study today. Now, here's our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Now, keeping in mind that this book and these verses, they're God-breathed. In other words, I believe Apostle Paul is the author, of course, or the writer, penning the words, or he may be dictating the words for someone else to write. But they are actually the words that God, by His Holy Spirit, breathes to him, and every word must be exactly what God has said. And so, they were written. Keeping in mind that what has been written in verses 5 through 7, verse 8 here, we see this first statement. This is a faithful saying. Oh, it is sure. It'll never be proven wrong. And that means it's always, always, always true, regardless of what man may say, whether it's an unsaved man or some theologian who thinks he knows so much better than God and he can do better than the Holy Spirit on this. No, this is God's Word. Take it. It says what it means, and it means what it says. So, regardless of what man may say or think, we see then the importance of this next statement. And these things I will that thou affirm constantly. Now, in Greek, this statement is what is called a present imperative. In other words, present tense is ongoing, not stopping. It's ongoing, it keeps on going. Imperative is, it's do this, do it now. Or if it's something you're told to stop, stop it and don't do it again. That's the idea of the imperative. But here, the imperative is, do this and don't stop doing it. And being it is God's word, it is God breathed from God. It is of utmost importance because we will be called into account. Now, you may not believe that. You may not want to believe that. But, friend, I'm not trying to sound like I'm superior because I am not. But I will say this. I believe God. I believe God. So, being God's Word, and the I will is that God, it is God's divine will. And it is an imperative command, besides being His will, that we consistently affirm these things that He's just told us here in these verses here in Titus chapter 3. And what does constantly an imperative command mean to you? It means you're going to be called to an account just like I am for this very thing. These things are within the thought of these first seven verses of this chapter. And when you look at some of the things that you see listed in this chapter, these first seven verses, You see what we're saved from, but you also are seeing what we are saved to. Now, do you remember as a little child, or when you had a little child at home, and it's your child, when you said, "Will you help me get this done?" Or your little one, your daddy said, or your mother said, "Would you help me get this done?" It was as if they treated you like you're an adult. And now, to you, you feel like you are being treated like a big person. And you were honored to do it because they asked you to do this thing and to help them. They wanted your help. Now, I've had my grandchildren, great-grands, you know, and you say, "Hey, will you help Grandpa up?" And, of course, you stand up, but make him or her, who's ever helped you, think, "Oh, they didn't." You say, "Oh, thank you." Okay. Well, God has things for us to do, and He wants you to do it. You know, one of the things I think about when I think of what I'm just saying here is I was number four of five boys. So I had three older brothers. My youngest brother was born about 10 years after I was. So he was a lot younger than I was. And so when he was 10 years old, I was 20. Okay, so I had three older brothers, and I knew what it was to get pushed around, sometimes beaten up, everything else, because you have three older brothers. They're the big people, not you, okay? And so the other thing about it, though, is that many times the parents gave them jobs to do, but they didn't give it to you to do because you're the child. It might do with, for an example, mowing the yard. Now, I couldn't have mowed the yard when I was 4 years old. We had those push mowers. You know, I'm not talking about a motorized one. I'm talking about the blades that went in a circular fashion that you just pushed behind it, and it was a matter of might. You know, it was your power. You pushed it, and I wasn't strong enough to push it as a little guy, 4 years old, because those were hard to push over the lawn. But they were using the motored lawn mowers, you know, and they would start them up and go. But they didn't want me to cut off a foot or something else like that. So at first I didn't get to do that. I didn't get to mow. And only those three older brothers got to do that. But my friend, I had arrived. After about another 5 or 6 years, by the time I was around 9 years old, somewhere around there, that I got to push the mower. But I thought at first, when I first started doing that, man, I've arrived. But that, you know, as nice as that was and the way it made me feel, good. Then it was, I didn't think of it that way when I was told, okay, mow the yard, get the yard mowed today. And Mom and Dad may have been gone somewhere. You still had to do it and get it done. Sometimes you didn't do a good job. Sometimes you messed up. Sometimes you could see that they weren't pleased with the job that you did. I can remember one time thinking, I'm going to really impress them this time. I saw these weeds growing up by the back porch where you enter into a door. And I thought, yeah, man, I'm going to mow those things down. I'm going to pull them out. As a matter of fact, I'm going to throw them away. And that's what I did. What I didn't know, they weren't weeds. They were new plants. You know, I just saw these green little things sticking up. They had just planted them in the ground. And, man, I yanked them all out and threw them away. And I thought I was doing a good thing. But I wasn't. You know, I was doing a bad thing, not knowing it. Sometimes we sin and we don't know it's sin. And we may have a good intention, but, boy, it falls far short of what God wanted. And so you seek to know God's will, always do God's will, God's way, and in God's timing. You know, my mom and dad, they're gone. Perhaps your mother and dad are gone now. They're with the Lord. You know, and one of the thoughts that you have when they've passed and they've gone on, sometimes you're in that time alone, after they're gone. You know, when they first die, you're just you're grieving. You know, you're going to miss them, and you say, "Oh boy," you know, and this and that. And you think of them and how special they are, and that's a blessed thing for a Christian, and knowing they're with the Lord. But later down the road, you think and you say, "Well, I wish I'd done more for them." When we get to heaven, I think it'll be that way as well about doing the will of God, as we were talking here about holiness and things of that nature. Where that song says, "I wish I had given him more." Oh, but a holy God. A holy God. Just as that first time the parents trusted me to mow the yard, that holy God has given you, has given me responsibility. And it's an honor to be chosen of the holy God who created the heavens and the earth, who created all that is, that without him was not anything made that was made. And I wonder if, having the honor of his call, we did it with all of our heart. We didn't quit in adversity, as Proverbs 24:10 says, "He that fainteth in the day of adversity." You know, he that quits, in other words, that person, his strength is small. Don't quit in the day of adversity. As a child of God, we should rejoice that our Heavenly Father had a special will for us. I'm glad he had a special will for me. Now, I will admit there have been times when you're under fire, you wonder, why me? But the truth of the matter is, you just stay true, you stay faithful, and you'll find out that sometimes it is the joy of the Lord that becomes your strength, as they were told in Nehemiah. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And so, what you do find out, that if you'll do it in his strength, just like the little boy, I could push that, finally got to the point where I could push that mower, knowing of my dad and mom's trust. And if you got God's call, you know you can do it. It's important to him. And we should want all the will of God to be important to us. That's why we should know his will. And constantly affirm that in all these things, in verses 4 through 7, and really this whole chapter, we should, as the present tense, that is continuing tense, affirm this in an ongoing consistency.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address for the Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And again, our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Gary Neron, saying, may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.
Stand so the hills may tumble, it will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands.